You are now listening to Zion's Call, the international media voice of First Harvest Ministries, distributed by SL Voices, declaring to the nations of the world that the kingdom of Yahweh, the Almighty Creator, is coming to earth, and the great Sabbath rest will come to the entire planet. All wrongs will be made right, all wickedness shall cease, and the glory of God shall cover the earth as the waters of the sea. This broadcast is designed to reach for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, scattered throughout the Gentile nations of the world. Shane Vaughn, an author of 23 published books, television presenter, radio host, and founding bishop of First Harvest Ministries, has been given a heavenly mandate to help reach the end-time bride of Yeshua, the Messiah, and help cleanse her in perfecting glory with the restored truths of the revealed Word of God. If you have heard the call to come out of her people, and you wish to understand your role in the coming kingdom of God, then this divine appointment has been sent to you to more perfectly instruct you in the ways of the Master and to share with you the true gospel of the coming kingdom of God. Please tune in now, share with a friend, grab your Bibles, and gather with Shane and Karen Vaughn for another edition of Zion's Call.
This is known tonight as a high Sabbath. I want to just talk to you this evening from the Word of God about what tonight means and what this festival means that we are entering into. You need to know the difference between a regular Sabbath and a high Sabbath. There is a weekly Sabbath that happens every seventh day of the week. But then there are seven annual Sabbath days. Now, the word Sabbath simply means set apart. It's simply set apart for sacred use. And now we have many people that's watching us online tonight. All of you folks, God bless you tonight. So sacred use is all that a Sabbath is. For example, the weekly Sabbath, the seventh day, is not like the other 6 days. Brother Barnett, God bless you tonight. Good to see you, and thank you for supporting this work and your faithfulness. We love you, brother. So the weekly Sabbath is set apart. It's just like the tithe. The tithe does not belong to us. The tithe is set apart. We take $10, we set $1 apart for sacredness. The weekly Sabbath is a sacred time that God laid a claim to. Well, there are seven annual Sabbath days called the Holy Days. And tonight just happens to be, well, we've missed the first day. We just caught it before the sun went down. This is now the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles. But if you got there before the sun went down at 7:02, then you kept the command and you were there for the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Tonight, we're going to learn about the Feast of Tabernacles and why God loves His holy festivals. Now, I want you to get your Bibles, and we're going to study the Word of the Lord together. And we are going to start tonight in the book of, Leviticus. Let's go there to Leviticus chapter 23, and we're going to start at verse number 33. Leviticus 23 and 33. And also, several are commenting that's watching around the world. So I greet you tonight as well. Thank God for this glorious time. Now, but while you're finding that scripture, Leviticus 23 and 33, we're going to read several scriptures there. But while you're finding it, remember, the light side of the year has come to an end. We are now entering, after this festival, we will enter into the dark side of the year, where the days will become continuously shorter. Let me explain to you before we read what the pagans believed for thousands of years and what they still believe today. The pagans did not have faith in Yahweh as we do. They did not have the Holy Bible and their faith in the Word of God like you and I do. Their faith was in nature. They believed that the gods plural, the angels, if you will, ruled certain segments of nature. Well, they did not have the technology that we have today. So something began to happen. Around this time of the year, they noticed when they would look up in the sky that the sun was getting weaker and weaker, and that the darkness was getting stronger and stronger. They realized that the darkness was taking over, or if you will, killing the sun. This was very scary to them because they didn't have a farmer's almanac in those days. They didn't have telescopes and the understanding of astronomy that we have today. They did not know if that sun would ever return to its strength. Their crops would fail. It was a fearful time for pagans that placed their faith in nature. So around this time of the year, they were scared. The fear of the darkness. It was midnight in the middle of the day almost, and they did not know if the sun would ever return to its elephantine strength. So what did they do? They created festivals in honor of their gods, pleading with their gods to cause the sun to be born again, for the sun to come back, for the sun to take back over the darkness. These festivals begin this month on the 31st of October. The first pagan festival is known as Samhain. It's spelled S-A-M-H-E-I-N. Samhain is how it's pronounced. What is that festival? It's known as the Festival of the Dead. It's Halloween night. This is the first night when the night is the longest that it's ever going to be. The veil to the pagans is thinnest between the death and life. So they created a festival to the demon gods of the darkness to appease them, trick or treat, to please them with some treats, so that those gods would return the sun to the pagans. This demonic practice will be celebrated in just a few days because the light is leaving the earth. And guess what else is about to leave the earth this week? The festivals of the God of all light. His name is Yahweh. His festivals occur in the light side of the year. But now this will be the last festival that Yahweh claims as his own. It is the ending of the fall harvest season. But October the 31st, when these pagans don their mask, when they trick and treat, when they do all of these things, the house of God, the holy people of Yahweh, will go right there with them, door to door, to join in the celebration of darkness. And it's those very same Christians that will look at you tonight, that's sitting in that audience right there, look at you and mock you for being part of this festival of light. We're going to learn about this festival in just a moment. But remember, right after the Halloween festival of darkness, just a few days later, about 2 months later, the darkness will begin to lessen. It will begin to give way again to the sun. You will never guess the day of the year when the sun is reborn, when the sun comes back into play and you have the shortest night of winter because the sun has come back to life. You guessed it. December the 25th, when the day when supposedly the Son of God is born. You see, when the Roman Catholic Church took over all of these pagan tribes, they couldn't convert them from their old ways. So they wanted them in the church so that they would pay tithe to the church. So to keep from offending them, they just joined in with them and Christianized these holidays. You can never make holy what God has called unholy. Now, the reason I'm going to the Christmas celebration right now is because many people say, Brother Vaughn, lighten up. This is just the day that we celebrate the birth of Christ. Lies, 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 and more lies. Quit loving the lies. And you that are watching me tonight, I know that you have quit. So I'm preaching to the choir. But this video will go around the world. Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, was not born anywhere near December the 25th. That's when the sun in the sky was reborn. No, beloved, your Messiah, the one that you adore, the one that shed his blood for you, he was born in this week called the Feast of Tabernacles. As a matter of fact, he came and tabernacled or dwelt among us. God created a tabernacle called Jesus, and God came in that tabernacle and tabernacled here on earth with us. This is the week that Jesus Christ was born. So go tell it on the mountain, tell it over the hills and everywhere that Jesus Christ was born. But we don't have to mingle that with dead trees that have fake lights and all of the tapestries of this world. We celebrate his birth right now. But the Feast of Tabernacles is really not about the birth of Christ. Let's read what it's about. Let's go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23 and verse 33. If anybody has any questions, feel free to inbox those questions. We'll be more than happy to answer them. Hallelujah. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Yahweh. I want to pause there because you know I have to preach on every verse. Listen carefully. Speak unto whom? Did he say speak to the world? Did he say speak to the pagans? I need somebody to talk back to me right now. Did he say speak to the pagans? Did he say speak to the witches? Did he say speak to any of those people? Did he say speak to the government of the United States? No. Who did he say to speak to? Oh, he said speak to the children of Israel. Beloved, there is only one group of people that are the children of Israel. And no, it's not who you think it is. There is a group of people that have been circumcised by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Our flesh has been cut off. We don't walk now after the flesh, but we walk after the what? The Spirit, beloved. And because we've been circumcised by the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. They're going to call security on me in this hotel. I better calm down. Because we've been circumcised by the Holy Ghost, we are now grafted in to where? The house of what? Israel. So this verse, when people tell you, oh, no, 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 those holy days is for the Jewish people, I tell you that a Jew is not a member of the house of Israel yet. They will be one day when they receive the Messiah, but there's not a Jew on this earth that is a member of the one new man, the house of Israel, the one that comes through the new covenant. See, if you're going to be an Israelite, you can't just have a bloodline. You've got to come to the blood and be cleansed and washed. I hear some of y'all shouting right now. This hearing aid is real good. You are the house of Israel. Israel. The house of Israel was never done away with. Perish the thoughts of such tomfoolery and poppycock. You are the house of Israel. The Bible said at one time you were a what? A Gentile, but now you have been made nigh. You have come in to the commonwealth of Israel, fellow citizens, joint heirs. My God, I feel like shouting up in here, because this scripture about the holy days is not to the Roman Catholic Church. It's not to the Church of the Jews. It is to one group of people, the house of Israel. So he said in Leviticus, speak to the house of Israel, that's you, and say unto them, the 15th day of the first month, the seventh month, not the 16th day, not the 17th day, but specifically the 15th day of the first month, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for how many days? Seven. God loves that number seven. Anytime you see seven, you see the signature of God. That's why we do the seventh month. That's why the festivals are in the seventh month of the biblical calendar. Today, beloved, or just before the sunset tonight, was the 15th day of the first month. For 7 days unto Yahweh. Let's go to verse 35. And on the first day, not the second day, not the third day, but on the first day of these 7 days, you shall do what? Have a holy get together. That's what the word convocation means. It's a gathering. Tonight, we are all gathered. We obeyed that commandment. We came together on the first of these 7 days into a holy convocation to celebrate the meaning of this festival. Thank God for faithful people. And you shall do no servile work therein. Notice it doesn't say work. It says servile work. There's a difference that I won't teach on tonight, but I've got a YouTube video on what type of work is considered servile and what is not. Let's go to verse number 36. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now, what is our offerings to the Lord today? We don't kill animals. That part of the law was fulfilled in the death of Christ. So now we bring the sacrifice of praise, which is our adoration unto God. For 7 days we're to do this. On the eighth day shall be a holy, another church service is required on the eighth day of this festival, which happens to be next Wednesday night. And I will physically be there with all of you on the next commanded assembly. And if you don't understand the eighth day festival, that's the last one of the year. This is chapter 6. The Feast of Tabernacles is not the end. Oh, no, no, no. There's one more feast still to come. It's called the eighth day, or the last great day of the feast. That's a totally separate festival from the Feast of Tabernacles. The first day of Tabernacles is a holy day, not the seventh day or any of the other days. But the eighth day is a total different festival, and I will be there, and I hope every one of you will be there to hear me teach on the eighth day and what it means. It is the final chapter of this seven chapter story. He said, on the eighth day shall be a holy convocation for you. In other words, you don't have a choice in the matter. It's not a suggestion. I wish you would all come to church. No, he said, you shall have a gathering on the eighth day of this festival. Now, isn't it interesting that he says this festival is a seven-day festival, but then he says something about an eighth day? It's a powerful revelation. Now, let's go down to verse 37. These are the feasts. Everybody look at verse 37 right now. So I want to know that everybody's looking at verse 37. Oh, brother, I see a lot of responses. Hallelujah. Verse 37 says, specifically, let me get back over there so I can read it. These are the feasts of the Jews. I'm going to see if anybody's reading with me. I'm watching my comments. These are the feasts of who? Y'all ain't going to talk to me, I don't reckon. These are the feasts of Yahweh. These are the feasts of Yahweh. So when somebody tells you these are Jewish feasts, I want you to go right to that scripture and say, no, sir, these are the feasts of the Almighty Yahweh, which you shall proclaim, verse 37, to be what? Holy convocations, services, church services, where the house of Israel comes together. All right. These are the feasts of the Lord which shall proclaim to be holy convocations to offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and a drink offering, and everything upon this day. Now let's go down to verse 39. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, this is also called the Feast of Ingathering, when we gathered in the harvest, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But he said in verse 39, when you've gathered in the fruit of the land, and keep this in mind, the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles has to do with the fruit of the land, the souls of men. Just listen carefully now. You shall keep a feast unto Yahweh 7 days. On the first day shall be a high Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Two separate feasts, two separate festivals. And you shall take on the first day the branches of trees and palm trees and the boughs of thick trees and the willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Now, why did Yahweh tell us to take branches off of trees during this festival? Why did he tell us to worship him with these palm branches? Why? Because of the meaning of first fruit. And the meaning of tabernacles, which we're going to go into in just a second. Verse 41. And you shall keep it a feast unto Yahweh 7 days in the year. It shall be, now everybody watching me, I need you to watch this verse carefully. Verse number 41. And it shall be a law. The word statute there means a law of God, for a few days, or until Jesus comes and replaces it. This will be for you, not the world. They're going to mock you. But for the house of Israel, this shall be a law forever in your generations. Every single one of them. You shall never, ever, ever stop keeping this festival. Now, I want to speak to those right now that believes that Jesus Christ fulfilled these festivals. Number one. You're wrong. I was wrong about that. I always believed that these festivals pointed to Jesus. They do not. They point to the plan of God for the ages, the total plan. And Jesus Christ is not the total plan. He is the seed, but he is the beginning of the plan, the beginning of the creation of God. But these festivals are not about him. They are about the whole plan. And brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ has only fulfilled Passover, unleavened bread, and Pentecost, or first fruit. He has not fulfilled the Feast of Trumpets, Atonement, Tabernacles, or the Last Great Day. So when someone says he fulfilled them all, they are 1,000% wrong. Sincerely wrong. But wrong. Number two, if you are not keeping these festivals, I'm going to be as sweet and kind as I can be when I say this. If you don't keep these festivals, you are clueless. You are. You are clueless of what's next on God's agenda. The Feast of Tabernacles is contained within this festival of this great message is a great secret that God wants you to understand. The Feast of Tabernacles is a feast that wants you to focus on how temporary those tree branches are. What? Temporary. We break them off of a tree, they come, they go. They bloom, they die. The reason we get the branches, the reason that we build the sukkah, which is a temporary dwelling, the reason that he commanded us, and I'm going in and out, so I'm not going to read these other scriptures because it looks like many of you cannot understand me. But the reason that we build the sukkah is not so that we can just build a sukkah, which is a temporary hut or dwelling. He don't want you just getting out there, just doing it to do it. There's meaning behind it. He wants you to get the intent of the meaning. And here is the meaning. This life is temporary. This body is temporary. These troubles are temporary. And after the Feast of Atonement and Satan has been bound, he wants the church to come together again and celebrate the new body or the new tabernacle that is waiting for us in the resurrection. I want to show that to you if I can. Real quickly, turn with me. Let's go over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. And I just want you to read with me in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16 and verse 14. Deuteronomy 16 and 14. I just want you to see something beautiful. It's talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. And here's what it says in verse 14. And you shall rejoice in your feast. You and your son and your daughter, everybody in your house, for 7 days I want you to rejoice. Why? Satan was just bound at the Feast of Atonement. There's something to rejoice about. But even more so, during the millennium reign, which is what the Feast of Tabernacles represents, the resurrection, the new tabernacle, our body's just like that old branch on a tree. It comes and it goes. But we have a body not made by hands that's waiting for us in the resurrection. And if you don't celebrate that new body every year, you'll forget about it. If you don't celebrate the new world that's coming to planet Earth, ruled and governed by the sons of Yahweh, the righteous men of the earth, governors that walk in obedience to the law of God, they're coming. They are coming to govern this planet during the millennium reign. The Feast of Tabernacles tells us about that coming day for 7 days. Why is this feast 7 days long? It represents the 7,000th year. It's a beautiful thing, beloved. Now, I want to show you one thing before we go tonight. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 16. The book of Zechariah 14 and verse number 16. I want you to read this with us tonight. This is very important. The reason it's important is because the Christian church has taught us that these festivals were done away with. I want to show you what God's prophet said, not your preacher, not my preacher, not your pastor, not my pastor, not your favorite teacher or mine, but a prophet of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit. Here's what he said about the Feast of Tabernacles, the one that Jesus supposedly replaced. Let's read it. Zechariah 14 and 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem. So this is talking about the millennium reign. This is after the great tribulation. Listen to what it says. They shall go up from year to year to worship the king. the God of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. One day, the whole world, every year, is going to do what this house of Israel is doing right now. See, we are a foreshadow government. We are a government in training. We are a people in training. We are training, beloved, for this prophecy. Someone will have to show the nations how to keep the Feast of Israel. Someone will have to train them how to work in the ways of God and to rejoice during the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's go to the next verse, Zechariah 14 and 17, and we're almost done. And it shall be that whosoever does not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, that upon them shall be no blessing or no rain. So I have a question for you tonight. God is blasé. He doesn't really care if we do this or not. It may be a good idea, but His word says otherwise. His word says during the millennium reign, when these bodies shall become new, and we, the sovereign sons of God, will be the world rulers. When that happens, that if any man does not keep the Feast of Tabernacles, he will carry the curse of God. Tonight, many believers are under the curse because they refuse to hear this message. They refuse to come into obedience to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to do it tonight. I don't have time. I'm not going to go into the intricacies of what to do and what does it mean about building a sukkah. I'll try to do another video that's not live that we can edit and teach you how to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. But I want to say this to all of you. This is the time when families should come together and celebrate what the millennium is going to be like. It's going to be full of families. It's going to be full of love and joy and rejoicing and food, lots of food. It's going to be a marvelous 1,000 years on planet Earth. And the Feast of Tabernacles, if you forget it, you will forget the millennium. But this feast won't allow you to forget the millennium reign. Why? This is the foreshadow of that which is still to come. I pray tonight that every one of you will gather your families around, have cookouts, do something during these 7 days, go outside, take some branches and nothing else, build a lean-to against the house. Do something to remind yourself that there's a new body waiting for you in glory. And one day, like that old tree branch, you'll break off. But remember, when the tree branch is broken off, what does it do? It comes right back. Hallelujah. When you're broken off from this old life, you're going to come right back, just like that tree branch. God's got a better home for you. It's called the new body, the spirit body. And beloved, peace is coming to planet Earth. I tell you that the day is upon us very soon when everyone will know Jesus Christ. Everyone will know Yahweh, the God of Israel. Everyone will come up and keep these festivals that you are keeping tonight. If you are here in this congregation tonight, I want to say this before I go. You are the most blessed people on the face of this earth. The world is in darkness. The church is in darkness. But you, the house of Israel, have heard a glorious sound. You have heard the call to come out of Babylon, my people. Come out from among her and go back home to Jerusalem. Go back home to the faith of the apostles. Every apostle kept the Feast of Tabernacles. I can prove it. Every apostle did what you are doing tonight. Tonight, you are apostolic because you are keeping the true roots of the apostolic faith. May the God of all peace be with you during this week-long celebration. And I look forward next Wednesday or Tuesday, we'll figure out the dates, to be in there with you with my dancing shoes on, to join hands with the house of Israel among a people that are most blessed, and to rejoice in the Lord our God. Happy Feast of Tabernacles. May Yahweh's blessings be on every one of you. Father, I pray that you bless your children that have obeyed you in this very simple festival. They've come to be obedient, and I just pray that your blessings would overtake them.
Thank you for listening, and we pray that your life was spiritually impacted by the truths presented to you in this edition of Zion's Call, distributed by SL Voices. So many others need to hear this untold story of the coming kingdom of God. Shane and Karen Vaughn would be grateful if you took the time now to help us reach the nations of the world by sharing this podcast on your social media platforms right now. Once you've done this, we have a free gift for you. One of Shane Vaughn's books will be sent to you free of charge when you visit our website, firstharvestchurch.org. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. It is our love gift to you for sharing this podcast with your friends. Pastor Shane and Karen Vaughn of First Harvest Ministries have over 500 teaching videos available on their rapidly growing YouTube channel. Simply search in your YouTube for First Harvest Ministries and subscribe today. Please look forward to next week for the next teaching presented on Zion's Call. Until then, may you be reminded, the kingdom of God, the Almighty Yahweh, is coming very soon. The wicked shall cease from troubling, and the weary shall be at rest. If you have not made yourself ready, you can do so with true repentance and baptism in His name and walking in obedience to His commands. If you have not done so, please make that commitment today. Until next time, Maranatha.